It is 4:31 here downtown, halfway through our Thursday show from Seasons Main Street in Bangor and our Quality Jewelers broadcast studios. Rich Kimball, Ryan Waning with you, and on the G&M Family Market phone line, Brian McPherson of the Providence Journal. Brian, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well, Rich. How are you?
Doing pretty well. Sox, I guess, seem to have righted the ship a little bit here. It wasn't always pretty in these last two series, but the fact that they've won two series in a row, is that a sign that things are on the upswing?
I mean, I don't think you can ever expect or predict what's happening going forward. I do think that a bad homestand would have boded badly for John Farrell. You know, it does seem like there have been times when his feet has been warming up. And especially after that 21-2 game, you know, if they lose 4 out of 5 after that, you know, that starts to look pretty bad. Instead, they rebounded, like you said, they rebounded pretty well. They've looked okay. They've got a chance to go into the All-Star break on a good note. And, I think certainly for John Farrell, the risk that he was going to lose his job over the All-Star break certainly seems to have diminished greatly.
Last night, another pretty solid outing from Stephen Wright. And if nothing else, it seems like Red Sox fans can count on Wright maybe as the only Red Sox starter who can get through the first inning without damage on a regular basis.
Yeah, the first inning thing is pretty mysterious. Some of it might just kind of be weird, fluky stuff because things like that can happen. Some of it might be approach-based, and they're trying to figure that out. You know, David Price the other night gives up a home run on the first pitch he throws, but otherwise actually is okay. Ends up give up a couple of hits and a sack fly, but that's not the sort of thing you worry all that much about. Wright obviously has been their most dependable guy all year. I think as a group, they're working on this first inning issue, but in some ways, it's a matter of trying to figure out, you know, the back two spots of that starting rotation in general, because those are some of the guys who have really gotten lit up. You know, Clay Buchholz has struggled with that. You know, they were beside themselves. Deshaun O'Sullivan got them into the sixth inning. The way he did, that earned him another start that he'll get on Friday. But, you know, it's an issue for the whole pitching staff.
Brian, what are your feelings on Bryce Brents? I mean, for a guy that was seemingly the forgotten man in the system, he's come to the majors and acquitted himself pretty well.
Yeah, he has. And I don't know that you necessarily look at him as a starter at this point, but, you know, he was always kind of the guy who you hoped would be able to be a complementary outfielder who could play left field and right field and, you know, especially hit lefties. And right now he's kind of slotted in. He's replaced Chris Young as that platoon partner for Brock Holt. Right, he has acquitted himself well, and it's a good story for a guy who spent parts of 5 seasons. This was the 5th time that he's ended up at Pawtucket. He spent a lot of time in that minor league system. He's dealt with a lot of injuries, and we know one big self-inflicted problem he dealt with before spring training a couple of years ago. But there have been other bad luck injuries as well, and it's nice to see a guy like that. And this is why you build farm system inventory so that, you know, when you lose like 4 left fielders, that you're not completely screwed. This is what organizational depth is there for.
Well, speaking of that outfield platoon, that was another positive sign—the return of Brock Holt, who's jumped right back in like he was never away.
Yeah, he absolutely has, and you know he's been such a valuable piece for them. It is interesting because I think there was a time John Farrell was talking about returning Holt back to his utility man role when he came off the DL. That was the hope, and I think that's probably still the hope in the big picture. You know, maybe by the time they get out of the trade deadline season, they've got somebody who's more of a starting left fielder so that they can use Holt the way they've used him in the past. But for now, I mean, they certainly can do worse than Brock Holt in left field, and he has acquitted himself well. And, you know, it's just on a playoff team, you sort of look at him as a bat off the bench, that utility guy. Like, that's how you really want to use Brock Holt, and that's where it seems like the roster gets a little bit thin.
We're talking with Brian McPherson of the Providence Journal. David Ortiz with his 20th home run of the season in game number 84 last night. And we're seeing remarkable numbers from Ortiz. And these are numbers that would be remarkable even if he wasn't in his last go-round at age 40.
Oh, sure. He's on pace to break the single-season record for doubles in a season, which is kind of funny because they've been trying to ease his workload and keep him off his feet and keeps hitting these doubles and keeps having a sprinter on the bases. And I think, you know, John Farrell, every time David Ortiz hits one off the Green Monster, sort of, you know, covering his eyes a little bit, you know, happy for the double, but hoping Ortiz doesn't hurt himself. You know, that's the big thing now. Is, you know, he's productive. You know, he's as good as ever. The big thing is getting him through these final, you know, 4 months, they hope, to get him through October healthy. And he's certainly trying to do that, too. They're doing everything they can. You know, he's getting days off, and I know there are times fans are frustrated with the number of days off he's getting, but, you know, that's how you get a 40-year-old through, 40-year-old with bad wheels, had these Achilles injuries, the speed of hurt, he fell, the balls off his feet. You know, he's, he's 40 and he's achy, and they're trying to do their best to keep him healthy all year.
Management has said all the right things, but does the arrival of Brian Bannister mean that the days of Carl Willis are numbered?
I don't know. It's tough to know what to make of that. I mean, it makes sense, the idea that, you know, Chili Davis has an assistant hitting coach, and that certainly seems to help. And Brian Bannister obviously offers a different perspective, a more analytic perspective than Carl Willis does. And certainly they need help. And, you know, if I'm Carl Willis, yeah, on the one hand, I feel, you know, footsteps maybe. But on the other hand, like last year, the Red Sox just out and out fired their pitching coach when things weren't going well. So you'd certainly rather have an assistant installed, you know, even if he might be your successor. You'd rather have that than the pink slip right off the bat. So, you know, I think Willis would acknowledge they need all the help they can get. They've really, they've struggled in a lot of ways, and Bannister does offer a new perspective and has access to an understanding of a lot of the information they think can help some of these pitchers.
We're just over 3 weeks away from the trade deadline. Dave Dombrowski has that reputation as being a guy who can make a deal and certainly did it in the offseason. What do you think will be their number one and maybe number two priorities going into that season?
They really need a starting pitcher, and for a time it seemed like maybe they could get by without having a starting pitcher. I mean, they came into the season, there's so much depth, and they're really just down to three guys, and that's where it seems like they need a starting pitcher, and it's gonna test Dombrowski's creativity and his ability to go find something, because starting pitching just doesn't seem to be out there. Like there aren't impact guys that you really expect, the guys that you normally expect to be out there. Like last July, it was David Price, Johnny Cueto, and Cole Hamels all got traded. There's nobody like that now. Even Sonny Gray, who's the guy the Red Sox fans kind of lust after, like, Oakland has him for three more years, and this is his lowest value. Like, there's no real reason for them to trade him unless they're getting a package commensurate with, you know, Cy Young caliber Sonny Gray, and I don't see why the Red Sox would do that at this stage. The pickings are very slim, and that's, you know, the Red Sox did bring Dave Dombrowski here because he's a guy who can make those deals. You know, he conjured up Doug Fister to stabilize the Tigers' rotation a few years ago. You know, what turned out to be a terrific trade, really didn't give up very much. That's the sort of deal they really need. You know, certainly he'll be aggressive, and certainly he's going to be willing to go make a deal. It's a matter of who's going to be available, because the starting pitchers that you'd normally want, a lot of these guys are locked up, and a lot of these guys are on contending teams. They aren't going to be trading their pitchers.
And do you think that the next priority after that is somebody to anchor that left field spot, or a little bit of bullpen help?
I don't know. That's where he could be a little creative, because both would help. You know, some people say the offense is good enough, so go get relievers. I mean, preventing runs, saving runs, it's kind of all the same. Or preventing runs and scoring runs. Like, if you can be a better offensive team, that can help you too. And, yeah, if you could get a left fielder, John Farrell said he wouldn't mind getting a right-handed hitting infielder, probably to complement Travis Shaw at third base. That would help them. A reliever, I would expect them to make a move for a reliever. I don't know if it's, you know, an eighth-inning guy. I don't know if it's more of a middle reliever. But, yeah, what we've seen from Koji Uehara and Junichi Suzawa, you do have to be a little bit worried about them getting through the final 3 months, not just healthy but effective. You know, they've had their struggles. They've had to work very hard in the last few years. So it does seem like, you know, for all the risks involved, we've seen bad trades for relievers all over the place, especially at the trade deadline. It does seem like that's maybe a risk they have to take.
Brian McPherson, Providence Journal. Brian, as always, great talking with you. Thanks for visiting with us this afternoon.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Rick.
You bet. We'll talk.